Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Brody. It's Monday, June 7th, 2021. Stand by, America. We have a dino alert. A dino alert, Democrat name only. Democrat name only. That is, I'm a little nervous. That's right, Joe Manchin roaming around the water cooler set today. That not necessarily Joe Manchin, just representing Joe Manchin. The Democrat senator from West Virginia just literally bit off the head of progressives by saying he is not going to vote for their so-called Voting Rights Act, saying that it would divide the country even further. Well, so much for the Democrats' top priority. So what is Uncle Chuck and Aunt Nancy, what are they going to do? And the Dems, what are they going to do now? More in a moment. Also, former President Trump back in the saddle this weekend in North Carolina. His critics say they'd rather see him in a straitjacket, not a saddle. But either way, there's no escaping Trump. Biden may be the president, but Trump still dominates the conversation. We will discuss the ramifications and reverberations. Those are a lot of syllables from his speech over the weekend. Meanwhile, while Trump was receiving cheers, it was an entirely different scenario for Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. Georgia Republican convention this weekend, and well, let's just say he was lucky that Trump Republicans from the Peach State weren't literally throwing peaches at him on stage this weekend. Instead, plenty of boos for the governor, who they are still none too happy about. Regarding the 2020 election, we will have Georgia gubernatorial candidate Vernon Jones here later on the program to discuss. Clearly, a lot of juicy political news to get to. Let's bring in my good friend Rick Klein, the political director for ABC News. Rick, great to see you again, sir.
Hey, David. Good to be with you.
All right. Let's start with Manchin. He's become like, I don't know, the Mitt Romney of the Democrat Party. Progressives, I mean, they can't stand him, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, this is now at a boiling point, and this was a surprise that he put out the op-ed saying he would not eliminate the filibuster, would not support H.R. 1, the voting rights bill that is the top Democratic priority that you mentioned. It wasn't, though, a surprise that he took these positions. I think the timing, though, can't be lost on anyone. It's barely a week ago that Kamala Harris took on this new portfolio of trying to pass voting rights legislation, and this means it's dead. H.R. 1 is not going to happen as long as Joe Manchin opposes it, and he is against it. And I think for some intriguing reasons, David, that matter for the Republican agenda, he actually, in the op-ed, didn't cite any policy objections. What he said is, though, because this is such a hot-button issue, you need to have Republican buy-in. So it's bipartisanship itself that's lacking. And until and unless you get that, Manchin's not moving. And that, again, seals the fate of H.R. 1.
You make a really good point, Rick, about this, because it shouldn't come as any shock. I mean, maybe the timing and the fact that he put in an op-ed like this, and, you know, but the truth of the matter is they've been working on Manchin for weeks. It's clearly, and Sinema for that matter, and it's been going nowhere. I mean, they can't get anywhere.
Yeah, and I think this was an attempt by Senator Manchin just to put a nail in that and say, I'm not budging. And he's been saying it for months and months and months in as many different ways as you can about not just H.R. 1, but the broader issue about whether he would eliminate the Senate filibuster. It's not going anywhere. And, you know, we talk a lot about bipartisanship as if it's some luxury or choice that Biden is engaging in. The fact is, unless every Democratic senator is on board for everything that Biden is doing, he needs bipartisanship. And this underscores that point. If you don't even have all the Democrats on board, then you're not good luck trying to get some Republicans. But that's why you see the dance that's been going on around infrastructure, voting rights, civil rights. All these issues are not going to move until or unless you get at least some Republican buy-in.
Well, and this seems to have a direct tie into the legislative filibuster. This idea, I mean, if Manchin is a no on this, we know he doesn't want to change the filibuster. We know Sinema has come out just, what, last week and said the same thing. I know they're working on both of them, but it does seem that things like D.C. statehood, the Equality Act, and you can go down the list, will all be dead if the legislative filibuster doesn't change. And so I'm assuming this is also going to be dead regarding the legislative filibuster as well, though no one really thought it was going to go anywhere in the first place.
Yeah, and look, this is the reality of a 50-50 Senate. Every one senator can be a majority maker or a majority breaker. And in this case, Senator Manchin putting this firm stand on the issue of the filibuster takes it off the table for all intents and purposes. And similarly, any legislation that he opposes. And again, what he is saying is go find some Republicans and then we can talk. I think there'll be more attention to the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which is more modest in its scope, but still an important Democratic priority. Senator Manchin's indicated he's open to supporting that, and there could be Republican support for it. But the Democrats are going to have to regroup on voting rights at the very least.
Rick, one last question on Manchin. I want to read you just a small portion of the op-ed in the Charleston Gazette Mail. This is how he explained his reasoning behind the decision. He said, quote, "I believe the partisan voting legislation will destroy the already weakening binds of our democracy. And for that reason, I will vote against the For the People Act. Furthermore, I will not vote to weaken or eliminate the filibuster." So he did actually talk about the filibuster as well. I guess you just wonder this tap dance or this dance between progressives and people like Manchin, even Biden, obviously. Biden, too, really at the top of all of this, because Biden said he was going to be this unifier in chief. But to push a legislative filibuster, to push H.R. 1, which is controversial, I mean, it's not just straight up voting rights legislation, it would federalize elections. That doesn't feel very unifying. And I wonder if this is going to come back to backfire, not only from a progressive standpoint against Biden, but in a midterm election that Republicans smell political blood.
Well, 2 points I'd make, David. One is that if Democrats feel like Manchin is a problem, he can make their lives pretty easy by becoming a Republican. He'd probably be reelected for life in West Virginia if he did that. He doesn't want to do that. And Democrats, I think, have to recognize at some level he's maybe the only Democrat on earth who could carry the state of West Virginia and be United States Senator as a Democrat from West Virginia. So they have to make sure that they respect what he does and how his state is received as one of the reddest states in the U.S. The other point is that this is the reality for the foreseeable future. And the Democrats have to at least recognize that, change their perceptions a little bit around this. And progressives, if they don't like hearing it, too bad. This is how it is. And it may be that Manchin is kind of a blessing in disguise for Biden in the sense that you point out. He is going to be restraining some of the more progressive impulses inside the party. And as long as Manchin is standing up against things, including this rewrite to voting laws, that prevents the Democrats from going as far as they'd otherwise like to. And Biden, of course, would rather get wins than losses legislatively on voting rights and a whole lot of other issues. But it means that the centrists, Manchin and Sinema chief among them, are going to be holding back the Democrats in terms of what they can actually accomplish.
Rick, I want to get to Donald Trump real quick. Over the weekend, obviously, we all know about the speech. This line stood out to me. It's controversial, but I want to play it for you. Here it is, Rick.
"Remember, I am not the one trying to undermine American democracy. I'm the one that's trying to save it. Please remember that."
Now, the media may have smelling salts after hearing that. I mean, because I'm assuming the media has been saying the exact opposite, that he's actually trying to destroy democracy. What did you make of that comment, Rick?
Well, he's clearly playing to his base. And we know that a big segment of the base believes that the election was stolen wrongly, right, based on no evidence, falsely, however you want to characterize it. But he keeps that alive. And he's been keeping alive the idea that he'll be vindicated. We'll see how that plays out. And I think I believe the context of this statement, David, was talking about his opposition to the voting rights reforms that Democrats are pushing,
right,
which he feels very strongly about. And a lot of Republicans feel very strongly about. Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump disagree about the election, but they agree on that point. And that's where Republicans will find greater unity than in relitigating the last election.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? You know, you just wonder, and I don't want to go down this idea about the Wuhan lab leak, because, you know, Trump and a lot of folks that believe that, the Bannons of the world and others, were laughed at. It was like, you're kidding me. And now all of a sudden, oh, well, there might be something to it. So what about the 2020 election? You wonder if there's not a bit of a trickle here. That would be the worst case scenario for any of the critics of this 2020 election, to all of a sudden find out
6 months, a year later, that as more transparency, as we get more transparency, there might be some things that were not known a year ago or so. So I'm just saying that it might be a case.
Well, I think that we have an audit process that is playing out in Maricopa right. County. There's one that the courts have ordered in the largest county in Georgia. And we anxiously await those results. It's been delayed in Arizona for a couple of weeks, and I know they were just getting started in Georgia. The talk about in Pennsylvania, you know, at some level, you know, the facts will be the facts. We've had counts and recounts and audits and had hand audits in all of those places. The former president continues to mischaracterize what has been found. Clearly, he is eagerly though awaiting the emergence of any additional evidence.
Yeah. Rick Klein, really appreciate your time here on the Water Cooler. Love having you on. And, you know, I respect you greatly. So thanks so much.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
All right. Rick Klein, ABC News. Straight shooter, folks. We like Rick and he just kind of puts it out there. And we appreciate that. You know what's interesting? I'm just going to put on my glasses, if you don't mind. I got to turn a little bit, you know, 20 years older when I put on my glasses. You know what? This is a quote from Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State for Joe Biden. This is going to relate to politics here in a second. This is what he said. This was regarding Israel. He said this. He's talking about Israel. He said, the more transparency Israel that they can provide, the more legitimacy you're going to have. And I said, wait, hold on. Let me read that again in context of the 2020 elections. The more transparency you can provide, the more legitimacy you're going to have. That's the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken. Could that be extrapolated to talk about the 2020 elections? Is it about transparency? Is it about legitimacy?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. I got to tell you, I'm a half glass. The glass is half full for me. I'm an optimistic guy. I don't really boo all that much. You know, I never go boo, boo. I'm not one of those people. However, if the buffet was out of food, you can guarantee I'd be saying boo, boo, more food, boo. That's what I would be doing. Hey, this weekend in Georgia, well, I'll put it this way. The buffet was out of food for Brian Kemp. He was getting booed down in Georgia. The devil was down in Georgia, but so were the boos. Here's what happened at the Georgia Republican Convention to Brian Kemp. They weren't angry because the buffet was out of food. They were angry at Brian Kemp. But let's bring in Vernon Jones, who is running for candidate. Running for candidate. What am I talking about? What's in this mug? He's running for governor down in Georgia. Vernon, great to have you back on the show, sir.
Thank you, David. What's in your water cooler, David?
Listen, what's in my water? I'll tell you what's in my water cooler if you tell me what's in your. All right. Anyhow. All right. So. Look, Brian Kemp getting booed. This should not come as a surprise to anybody that's been following the 2020 election. What was your take, Vernon?
Well, first of all, to get a standing boovation like that shows you that he's out of touch with people. He's out of touch with what's important to them. You know, Brian's the first Republican, but he's quickly shown that he's been the first rhino Republican governor, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's true. There was true a Republican, not switched from Democrat to Republican like the others have. But you know, people are really upset about how he failed to stand up for election integrity, how he caved in to Stacey Abrams, allowed Stacey's law to be used in our elections and not the state law. And more importantly, how he still is so tied into Dominion until he's not willing to move to get rid of Dominion or allow for an audit process. You know, a fluency audit is important. When you look at a recount, that's one thing, David, but a forensic audit gets down to the policies, the procedures, what was used, what wasn't used, this or that. You know, Ronald Reagan always said, it's not that I don't trust you, but let me verify. He told us that the election was fair and transparent, but he won't let the American people, or let Georgians, I should say, verify. And so there's a dead cat on the internet line, and it leads to Brian Kemp.
Well, and Brian Kemp is tied at the hip with the Secretary of State down there, Brad Raffensperger. Yeah. And this weekend, the Georgia GOP actually passed a resolution to censor the Secretary of State down there in Georgia. What did you make of that move, and what is it telling you more broadly about Republicans in Georgia and the appetite they have right now?
Well, let me tell you, many wanted to censor Brian Kemp. Obviously, the establishment was trying to save him, save face, but it's obvious and apparent that Brian Kemp is a marked man. So is Raffensperger. And I can tell you the other incumbents, like the Attorney General. Don't forget, the Attorney General signed off on Stacey's Law, that agreement that was hashed in a back room. The fact of it is, there's an anti-Georgia leadership movement right now, because they didn't stand up for President Trump when he was running for re-election. They did not stand up for election integrity. And as a Democrat, as a former Democrat, I stood up and fought more on the front lines than all of them put together. As a matter of fact, they were on the sidelines, and that's why people supported me so much. You know, the media left out something real important here. Yes, Brian got a standing ovation, but who won the lion's share? Who controlled that convention? That was Vernon Jones's convention, if you will, with the people of Georgia, who saw me as a person that can fight, who has the legislative experience and the chief executive experience. And intentionally, the liberal media, they wrote the narrative. They very seldom even mentioned Vernon Jones and how we were able to captivate that room, not because of the speech, but because of my record, because I understood what was going on. I stood up for Donald Trump. And Brian Kemp, as a matter of fact, ask Brian Kemp the last time he had a conversation with the president. They know that the president has Brian Kemp on his radar, and he's a dead man walking, basically.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that about the liberal media. You're right. They buried that headline for sure. There wasn't even a headline about it as it relates to what happened down there at the convention about that. So where does that leave you and Donald Trump and how you get this, how you beat Kemp down there? Because, you know, Trump's endorsement would be really, really important for you, obviously.
Well, obviously, Kemp had beat himself. He beat himself with no leadership. He's beat himself with caving into the left and to Stacey Abrams. As it relates to Donald Trump, I think everybody knows that I put it all on the field for Donald Trump, even when it wasn't popular. I held the line for President Trump. Why? Because I believe in what he was doing. I believe in the American First agenda, like I'm having the Georgia First agenda. We like to do one thing we say back home. We like to save our Trump card, if you will. So stay tuned. There's some good stuff coming our way. And obviously and apparent, we are in touch with the voters. We know two things. They want election integrity, and they don't want those Dominion machines. And where do those Dominion machines come from? If you look at the tip of the spear, is Brian Kemp. He's protecting, keeping him there, and he doesn't want to have an audit because it blows up in his face. But it's blown up anyhow. There's nothing he can do, Brian, to get out of what he's got himself into.
Vernon, I got about a minute left, maybe a little less. Why do you think Brian Kemp didn't want the audit? You say blow up in his face. I mean, what do you think he was concerned about specifically? Why didn't he go for the forensic audit?
Because it looks at the policies and the procedures, and you can see in Stacey's Law, with that settlement agreement on the executive branch, they changed the signature verification. That wasn't our state law. At the same time, even the drop-off boxes was not as part of the state law, elections law. Only the legislature can change that. And interesting, do you know they came back in 2021 and they wrote the drop-off boxes into the law, and then the Secretary of State defense based on Attorney General's defense based on Stacey Abrams' new lawsuit is that, wait a minute, Stacey can't determine how many drop-off boxes go in there, only the legislature. Well, wait a minute, then how did Stacey's Law get into the primary on the general election in 2020 and the runoff in 2021? And when Brian said there was no problems with our elections, it was free and transparent, then wait a minute, why doesn't he want to verify it? Like Reagan, I'm not saying I don't trust you, but let's verify it. Let's verify it with a forensic audit. You'll see it. It would blow up in his face, and that's why he's fighting it.
Yeah, Vernon Jones, really appreciate your time. I thought Brian Kemp is in a world of hurt down there for sure, and you're going to let the world in Georgia for sure know about it.
Well,
thank you, Vernon.
If they want to feel the burn, they can go to jonesforgeorgia.com and donate. jonesforgeorgia.com. Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. I love it. Go to the trademark office on that one, Vernon Jones. Thank you so much. Feel the burn. How's Bernie going to feel about that? By the way, speaking of Bernie, and I say this all the time off camera, but I'll just say it right now. I get paid by the hour. So I'm hoping this can be a 3-hour show, because according to Bernie, if I'm making $15 an hour, that's $45 for the show. We do a 3-hour show.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Okay, so let's talk about COVID and specifically the cases and how they are calculated. It has been an ongoing debate for a long time. And look at this headline that we saw over the weekend. California County, this is in Northern California, those COVID-19 cases, the death toll was actually lowered by 400 after counting method changed. And we're going to get more on this from Dr. J, of course. Now, I'm not the Philadelphia 76ers star in the 1980s. He was unavailable. But Dr. J, the professor of medicine at Stanford University, is here. And I think he's more knowledgeable when it comes to this type of stuff than Dr. J. So Dr. J from Stanford, thanks for being here.
Nice to be here, David.
Well, where do we even begin? This is apparently a case, as I'm looking here, in Alameda County. They are taking those numbers down now by about 25% or so, because I guess it just depends whether you died of COVID specifically, or if you had COVID at the time of death and that was part of it. What's going on here, Dr. J?
I mean, it's difficult to always find a precise cause of death, especially when you have an older patient. Older patients often have multiple causes of death that it's hard to say one is particular, right? So, but here what they did is that it sounds like an audit of the death certificates, and said, like someone with died of a bus accident. Probably, even though they had COVID, probably didn't die of COVID. So I think that actually is a good thing. Like we need good death certificate numbers just so we can understand what the harms of COVID were versus harms of other public health problems. It sounds like we're finally getting back to normal, trying to understand that there's more than just COVID as far as public health threats to the country goes.
Now, clearly, obviously, we're talking about a global pandemic. No one's trying to doubt any of the seriousness of this. So let's just do that as a disclaimer. But at the same time, I mean, if you're going to go county to county across the country and counties are going to start to do this, that could significantly affect the death toll that we're seeing, because then all bets are off as to what the numbers we have been told previously.
I mean, it's interesting when you read the story about the Alameda County. The revision was, I mean, it sounds like controversial to some extent, just because they didn't want to minimize the risk of COVID. But I don't think there's a single person on the face of the earth that thinks COVID is not actually a big public health problem. I mean, that's just really not an issue. The issue really is refocusing public health so that we're looking at all of the threats to public health, not just COVID. And this is a first step. Like let's every county should do this. We should do a death certificate audits to make sure that we are counting the deaths correctly. I think in some senses, I was kind of heartened to see that the Alameda County is sort of moving in this direction.
I think some of the concern would be the inflated numbers, because, you know, everything was based on the data. And if it's based on the data, then at least the way many constitutional conservatives see it, their freedoms continue to be chipped away. And there's a concern that, you know, we'd be in mask land forever. So I think the concern is, you know, what happened here as it relates to the data, because that would kind of directly impact their freedoms.
I mean, I think the key thing here is corruption of the way we counted the deaths. If we used a process that's different for assigning the cause of death for COVID than we do for other things, well, that's a problem for public health. Like, public health depends on the trust of the population, that it's nonpartisan, that it's counting accurately. It doesn't unduly cause fear in the population. Actually, it should never cause fear in the population. All should seek to like address the concerns of the population, give tools to like to deal with it. Instead, what we've had, I think, through much of the epidemic has been this sort of monomaniacal focus on COVID, and we've changed our process. Scientific debate has been undermined. It sounds like in some places the standard counting of cause of death has been undermined. We just need to come back to normal processes of science, normal processes, take it completely out of the political realm and back into the scientific realm where it belongs, and then and public health about where it belongs, and start to do things with it that are much more broadly focused than COVID. I agree with you. It's been a threat to our liberties, many in part because we've decided that our liberties weren't so important when it comes to a pandemic, and I think that was a mistake.
So let me follow up on a couple of things you just said there. You mentioned corruption. I want to understand what you mean. Are you suggesting that some of the way this was done at the beginning was a somewhat of a corrupt process? What are you saying exactly? I just want to make sure I understand that.
Yeah. So what I mean by corruption is, I guess maybe the word's not precise. What I mean by corruption is like there are standard processes for assigning death certificate, the cause of death on death certificates. There are standard processes for what to do in the context of a pandemic. You focus on the most vulnerable. You don't panic the population. Many of those standard processes were thrown out the window in the context of this pandemic from almost the early days of the pandemic, mm-hmm. and. That's what I mean. I think that was a huge error on the part of public health officials and scientists. And I think it's undermined the trust of the public, not unreasonably, in those officials and the scientists. And I think the reaction to this story about the revision of death certificates, I mean, normally it would be a story that appear on page 40 or something, some death certificates change. But the reason it's appearing up near the front pages is because it shows how deeply the public distrusts public health now.
Well, you make a really good point, because I want to bring up before I let you go here, the distrust of public health. This is part of the problem why we're not seeing everyone get vaccinated. I mean, let's be honest. They don't trust many of these scientists. They when I say scientists, I'm talking about public health overall, this idea of big government, what's happening out there exactly, a rushed process potentially. And once again, emergency authorization for these vaccines, we should point that out. It is under emergency authorization. So you put all of that together and there is skepticism about this vaccine still out there.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, David. And that's one of the major costs when you sort of ruin the credibility of institutions like public health. When there are reasonable things, like older people should get the vaccine, they absolutely should. It'll protect them against this deadly disease. If you can't say that message credibly, you're going to hurt public health. Public health needs to be nonpartisan. Public health needs to be credible, and it's ruined its reputation on both lines during this pandemic. It's going to need to work hard to get it back.
For sure. All right, Dr. J, really appreciate your time. Great stuff. We haven't seen you in a while, so I'm glad you're back, and we'd love to talk to you next week if we could. That'd be great.
Yeah, love that.
All right, sounds good, Dr. J. You like how I just book on the fly? Madison, I'm like booking the show as we speak. Madison thanking me for that, not going to pay me anything later, so whatever. So I'm not going to get any money for it. But I am now an anchor and a guest booker at the same time. By the way, on the vaccine rates, Joe Biden wanted 70% of America to be vaccinated by July 4th. Not going to happen, folks. Not going to happen, number one. Number two, Joe Biden talked about everybody could have a picnic on July 4th. You know, it'll be great. And you know what? Everybody's having picnics anyhow, Joe. See ya. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. Donald Trump over the weekend, we've been speaking to him about him a lot on the show, and he spoke over the weekend about critical race theory. And I want to play some of this before we bring in our next guest, Nan Hayworth. You know her well, the former U.S. Congresswoman. I do want to play Donald Trump speaking over the weekend about critical race theory. Here is what he had to say.
The Biden administration has also issued regulations to indoctrinate America's school children with poisonous and divisive left-wing doctrines, such as critical race theory and exact opposite of the American belief that we all are created equal in the holy image of God. We have a group of people, I don't know where they come from, but it's terrible. Just as the state House of Representatives has done right here in North Carolina, Republicans at every level should move immediately to ban critical race theory in our schools. And we should ban it in workplaces. We should ban it in our states. And we should ban it in the federal government. And it should be done immediately.
And the standing ovation ensued after that. Critical race theory, 2022 midterms, they're going to be put right together. How is that going to play in the suburbs in 2022? Democrats might be in a world of trouble. We'll talk more about that now with Nan Haworth, former U.S. Congresswoman, and back here on the Water Cooler. Nan, great to have you back with us.
David, always my privilege. Thank you.
Well, what do you make of what Donald Trump said over the weekend, and what's the implication of Republicans kind of hammering home critical race theory as a political issue here? Because it's a big one.
Well, David, it is. And one way you know that, and of course, you know, we want to transcend politics with this. It's a crucial issue. It is a powerful political issue because it is striking. President Trump is right. And when he was in office, he had taken measures to fight this poison. It strikes at the heart and the soul of our constitutional republic, of our society. And the way you know that this is an issue that indeed can transcend political affiliations and maybe reordering, in fact, our political world in certain ways, is that there are parents who are from demographics that are certainly not what we have certainly recently come to think of as Republican demographics, who are leading the effort to counter critical race theory in public and private schools. And the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, for example, has come out very strongly and is uniting people from all portions of the political spectrum against this because it is so toxic, it is so divisive. So President Trump's right about that, and I do think Republicans should champion it, not only because it's a powerful political issue, it is, but also because morally it's the right thing to do.
You know, Nan, Joe Biden always talked about being this unifier in chief. And then since day one, he's been the exact opposite. He hasn't done anything. I mean, why push critical race theory? That's just dividing our country more. Talk about that's racial politics.
Yes, it is. It is. I'm among the myriad who refer to it as racism in new array. It's neo-racism. It is racism, and racism in every form should be fought against with every ounce of our strength together as a nation. President Biden is being handled. I really don't think he is in any substantive way in charge of the policies he propounds. He certainly seems to be highly manipulable, at the very least. And I think the people who are running his agenda, clearly at the top of the Democrat Party, we know this. You know, the energy is on the side of these balkanizing, disempowering initiatives that you can't help but see this as part of a concerted effort to transform us into an authoritarian state.
I want to get to one other topic, but I do want to follow up on what you just said on Biden not being kind of in control of any of this. I mean, are you referring, because there's been other people that have said this, from a mental health perspective, questioning, you know, what's happening there?
Yeah, I do think he's diminished, David. I'm not presuming to make a diagnosis. Sure. You know, I don't believe in that. But it, you can't observe this man and not know that he isn't fully in charge of what he's saying, to be at the very least.
Yeah, and I know you come from a place of empathy on that, and so do I, because it's been very difficult to watch, for sure, not just for our country, but for him personally, for sure. All right, well, let me ask you one last question about this Safe Border petition that you know very well. You're involved in this effort. This is, in essence, I mean, I'd like you to kind of sum it up, but I want to show you the petition. Basically, what happened to screening illegal immigrants at the border for COVID? I mean, what's happening there is not how other actual American citizens are being treated as it relates to COVID protocols. They're much different at the border. Why don't you explain what you're trying to do here? I've got about a minute left, Nan.
Yes, well, David, clearly American citizens have been subjected to, by especially blue states, but also by the federal government. When you travel, if you go on an airline, if you're in an airport, you still have to wear a mask, you have to conform to all these protocols, and yet immigrants who enter our country illegally are streaming across the southern border, are not being effectively tested, certainly are not being quarantined, they're not being vaccinated, and this exposes the American public to risk that is unnecessary. It is unfair. It's unfair to Americans who are being forced to comply with restrictive regulations that are harming our economy and harming children still in terms of restrictions on schools. And yet illegal immigrants aren't subject to the same scrutiny. It's just wrong and it's unsafe.
All right. Nan Haworth, I appreciate your work on that. And if you want to check out the petition, just go online and you can find it there. Nan, great to have you on the show again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Good stuff. Nan Haworth, a patriot here in America. Coming next, the last sip. Ready for this? So Kamala, well, I don't want to get into it now, but Kamala Harris goes to down to Guatemala. And let's just say the Trump folks were out in force in Guatemala. And oh, by the way, Kamala is giving cookies out of herself. Huh? Back in a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Time for, boom, the last sip. Kamala Harris, the VP, she's a piece of work. She's down in Guatemala. Good for her. No more virtual meetings. Hey, she made it down the stairs. That's impressive. Joe Biden having a hard time making it up the stairs. But Kamala Harris nicely landing she had a nice landing there. Anyhow, so this is what the media is going to show you, right? They're going to show you all that and, you know, fanfare, blah, blah, blah. Here's what we're going to show you on the water cooler, because this also happened down in Guatemala. But you won't see this. Kamala non grata. Kamala, mind your own business. Kamala, go home. Look at all the Trump, look at the Trump signs. This is what she saw down there when she landed. These were all these folks lining the streets. Stop financing criminal groups, Kamala. And also, hey, trade, not USAID. Anyhow, get rid of the, I don't like the KK there. But anyhow, Kamala, not welcome. And it goes on and on. And we got to wait for this one sign. There's actually a couple signs coming up. The next one, here it comes, and boom. Kamala, comma, Trump won. Hey, how do you like that, Kamala? Welcome to Guatemala. Trump won. That's pretty funny. And look at this guy coming up in the next sign. I love this guy's face. Ready? There he is. Trump won. Trump won. ... Exclamation point. Anyhow, Kamala Harris getting the Guatemala treatment there down in where? Guatemala. Wait for it. Hey, also, I'm sorry. I'm already laughing because I know what's coming. Shall we just show it? Let's cue the cookie. This is the Kamala Harris cookie. I'm not making this up, folks. This is not any sort of water cooler, ha-ha, fun little effect that we have. This is real. Kamala Harris gave out, wait for it, Kamala Harris cookies to the press on Air Force Two. I kid you not. That's like me having a water cooler party and saying, hey, everybody, I made a cookie of myself. and I'm going to give you a cookie of me. Madison, would you like a cookie just of my face? No, Madison says, absolutely not. I don't want any part of that cookie. And honestly, probably neither does America. And by the way, I would suggest that 75 million people don't want that cookie either. That, by the way, that's the tweet that the USA Today reporter at the White House put up. See, Kamala Harris made an OTR, an off-the-record visit to the back of the plane and delivered cookies decorated with the shape of her likeness, as well as Air Force Two. Could you, as well as Air Force Two, could you imagine Donald Trump putting a picture like a, like, here you go, Trump back of Air Force One. Hey, I got cookies for all of you in my face. He would be lambasted, basted, all that stuff. How do you say that word? Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. It's the end of the show. It's Monday. Anna Perez here after, were you with Kamala Harris on your, on a long weekend? You didn't have a long weekend, did you?
I was with her. It was a fantastic vacation. And we're actually planning our next together.
You are? Can you tell me where
our
you're
honeymoon,
going?
Our honeymoon, if you will.
Oh, God.
Certainly not the border, that's for sure.
No, no. Though she is down there, finally.
Guatemala, but not the border.
Yeah,
we'll see
those
what
Trump signs. Oh, my gosh. Well, it's nice to see that you had a long weekend with Kamala.
Yeah, it was
good,
fun.
Good for you. So what's going on? What do you, what's happening in your news world?
Well, we found a lot of interesting migration plans, and I don't mean Mexicans, I mean Americans in the United States.
Okay. No, Mexicans are not birds. So
well,
what
they could be Mexican, I guess. American Mexican.
But today,
but,
that's not what
in America, at least, Updater Technologies, which is a platform that people use to move, to transfer their utilities, to find moving companies, they found out of every 300,000 moves that they were able to keep track of, that the states that they were moving to, there were only 16 states, 16 of these states, had more inbound moves than outbound moves, which means they had more people coming in than coming out. And these states are, of course, Texas, Florida, North Carolina, you know, more of the freedom-loving states.
Right.
Whereas we saw states like New York, California, even some Midwestern states with, you know, Ohio, Cleveland, because of cities like Cleveland, and Milwaukee. They actually had more outbound travel, so meaning more people moved out than in. So obviously these states haven't been great for a while. You know, it wouldn't be fair to blame it all on the pandemic when there's human feces on the sidewalks in San Diego. That's Nancy Pelosi for you. But, you know, she's not, So, but, you know, it's fair to say that this huge jump in trends that we've seen in New York specifically, Cuomo, of course, is handling the situation there. This has a lot to do with COVID, and you know, a lot of people are okay, or especially young people, but even families, I think, make the trade-off when living in a city of, you know, I pay higher taxes, and it's kind of a smaller environment. I don't have as much room for my family or myself, but at least I have this cool place I live in. There's a lot of sightseeing to do, but you know, with COVID restrictions, you couldn't do a lot of that. So you know, it's no surprise that they're interested in moving out of those places.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's very interesting. And of course, Florida and Texas, we knew this was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, just, you know what, please, you know, take your moving van, but don't put your politics in the moving van. Could you?
And that's what the concern is, I think. That's what it comes down to. A lot of people, a lot of conservatives are concerned about that.
For sure. All right, Anna, great to have you on the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tomorrow on the show, oh, look, what's in prompter? Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene back on the water cooler. I'm going to roll on that. We got to TiVo that.